Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. We're so happy to share this message with you. It's entitled, Expedient for You That I Go. Imagine what Jesus' disciples thought as they heard him telling them that it was better for them if he left them. What could compare to walking side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ? What made it expedient for him to leave us was the fact that in his place, we would all receive the opportunity to have God Himself, the Holy Ghost, living on the inside of us. Praise God. What a miracle has taken place in us who's made Jesus Lord and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe this message will bless you. Such a blessing to have this opportunity to minister to you. So let's get started with prayer. Heavenly Father, it's so wonderful to be able to share your word with these people that have logged in tonight. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And I believe, Heavenly Father, that as we study your word, your Holy Ghost is going to bring the understanding into our hearts. Holy Spirit, you are the true teacher. And I surrender myself to you to speak the words through me that you want spoken. And I believe, Father, that the people's hearts are open to receive what's ministered this evening, and there's understanding there. I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And I come against the powers of darkness that would try to bring any distractions or disturbances of any kind. I arrest you now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what we're going to learn this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening, what we're going to be looking at and discussing is going to be about the Holy Ghost. I love to teach about the Holy Spirit. I've found that over the years of my Christian walk that there's a lot of people, a lot of denominations, church groups that have, you know, certain ideas about the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, a lot of times they minimize the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and I think that's unfortunate because the Holy Spirit has been sent, given to us to be our helper, to be the word's paraclete, and we'll look at that here this evening, our comforter, the one that's called alongside, and there it's actually a word that's used. It was originally used to mean like in a courtroom setting, a counselor for the defense. And that's all incorporated in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we want to look at the verses. And I don't want to quote you the verses. I want us to look together in the Bible, see the verses. I think sometimes we get caught up in quoting some of these verses that are so very familiar to us. And I think we do ourselves a disservice in just quoting them without taking time to look at them and take time to meditate on these words. Let them soak into our spirit. Remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't come by having heard, it comes by hearing. And that hearing, part of that hearing is actually looking at it, meditating on it, taking it inside of you. I know for myself that particularly in times where maybe the attacks of the enemy are strong, I'll put it like that, they're strong, that I'll sit and just read the verses, look at them on my computer screen, read them out loud, and it just seems to wash over my spirit, and it's just so nourishing. You remember, and I've used this verse that Peter wrote in his first letter, and instead of quoting it, I'm gonna look at it very quickly. If you have your Bible, you can look at it also in 1 Peter chapter 2. says, as newborn babes desire. Now, that word desire, I want that to, I believe it would be beneficial if you looked at that and you meditate on that desire to long for greatly. This is what Peter is admonishing us to do. As newborn babes, long for greatly the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow. See that word grow thereby? It's the word. It's this written word, the Logos, as we will meditate on it. Desire it. Have a sincere longing for this. That this word coming inside of us, it's going to nourish us. We're going to grow. And I've actually found that the more that I put the Word of God inside of me, the hungrier I get for more of it. And you can tell a lot of times someone who has a, let's say, a low word level, in other words, they haven't been spending time in the Bible, you can tell because there's like a missing hunger. There's something missing there. That sharpness, that I don't know, it's just that enthusiasm for the things of God. It's just not there. But you get someone that has fed themselves continuously on the Word, and as far, when I say continuously, as much as you can. Sometimes it'd be beneficial for you to put it on your iPhone or put it on your cell phone and listen to it. Listen to it when you're in the car, on your way to work, or on your way home, or at lunchtime. A lot of opportunities that we could utilize to get the Word inside of us, because it's the Word of God that's going to change us. It's His Word that feeds us, that nourishes us. So make sure that you're doing that. Make sure that you're getting God's Word inside of you. Amen. So, let's go to John chapter 14. We'll begin in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Praise God. The ministry of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. And I looked up the words for the Greek word for comforters, parakletos, an intercessor. It means an intercessor, an advocate, counselor for the defense. Okay, this is His ministry. This is what He's been called to do, to come and minister to us individually. Now, I'm guilty of not truly appreciating what that means, to have God, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, that has come to live inside of me, that has baptized me, immersed me with Himself. And hopefully tonight, as we look at some of the scriptures from the Old Testament, maybe we'll get a little bit better appreciation of what that meant and what that means, that the Holy Ghost has immersed us with Himself. Because the people in the Old Testament, like when we'll look there in a little bit, the book of Joel prophesied about the coming of this of these people who would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I have to think that in these people's minds, they must have thought that we were going to be giants, that we were going to be from another world. which, in fact, when we're born again, we are from another world on the inside, because we're born of God, born of His Spirit. And then when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and we're filled up with His presence, oh, praise God, we are unstoppable. Get a hold of that. When you're born again, a child of the living God, and you have received the ministry of the Comforter, and you're immersed in Him, I'm telling you what, you are unstoppable. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that the enemy has in his arsenal that can stop you. He's already defeated. Jesus made a show of Him openly, triumphing over Him in it. He's defeated. The enemy is defeated. And God has given us the victory. And if we will only see ourselves as the victors that we are in Christ Jesus, not in ourselves. You're nothing in yourself. But in Him, you're everything in Him. You've been born again. If we have to see ourselves in Jesus, we have to see ourselves with immersed in the Spirit of the living God living inside of us, counseling us, the Paraclete ministering to us. How wonderful, it is what has happened to us. And we have to appreciate it. We have to constantly, almost constantly, I have to remind myself of these things, because you just let them slip away and you forget. You forget about the Holy Ghost. He's such a gentleman. Even though I have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, even though I am filled with His presence, do you know, I can ignore Him and He'll just be right there. He'll be right there just waiting patiently for me to acknowledge Him. He doesn't force Himself on us. See, that's one thing that we need to appreciate and understand. When it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the person of God, there's absolutely nothing forced from Him onto us. He doesn't force His will on us. He didn't even force, catch this, God the Father did not even force His will upon Jesus when Jesus walked the earth. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did Jesus say? He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. You see, He had to yield Himself to the will of the Father. That's exactly what we have to do. And so going back to the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost is right here, and you can ignore Him. You can miss out on all of the ministry opportunities that He would love to bless us with if only we would acknowledge Him. And I raise my hand. I'm as guilty as anybody for forgetting about Him. It's so sad. But we have to remind ourselves. And one way of doing it is by looking at these verses, seeing what His ministry is to us. So let's go on here. In that same chapter, John 14, let's go down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. See, now Jesus identifies specifically that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name. Now we're going to see what one of His ministries is to us. He shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things. All right. Now let's look at that just for a minute. Holy Ghost is going to teach us all things. Okay? Now let's go back just for a second to what I said a few minutes ago. That there's nothing in the kingdom of God where God forces himself on us. There's nothing. Everything in the kingdom of God is because we initiate. If we don't initiate, it doesn't happen. If we don't initiate prayer, it won't happen. God doesn't take you and make you pray. If you don't initiate reading the Bible is not going to be read. God doesn't force you to sit down and open your Bible and read it. You initiate it. You're the one that makes the decision. All right. Now let's look with that in mind at this verse. Where the ministry of the Holy Ghost, he shall teach you all things. The teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost. Now do you think that he just teaches everybody that's been baptized in his presence? The answer would be no. There has to be something that you do to initiate that, just like we initiate everything else. And the way we can initiate his teaching ministry to us is praying in other tongues. When we are baptized in the Holy Ghost, his presence within us is evidenced by the ability that we have to pray in other tongues as he gives the utterance. So, if I want to be taught by the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, I want you to teach me. And the way that I initiate that is see, and for those of you that are new to what I'm doing, I'm praying in other tongues. The Holy Ghost isn't moving my tongue for me. He didn't grab my throat and make me pray in tongues. I yielded myself over, and as soon as I did, he began to create the tongues. And I spoke it out. I'm the one that's speaking it out. I'm the one that makes the decision when to start and when to stop. He's the one that creates that language. All right? So in doing that, I am empowering him to teach me, to reveal truth to me. And I'll tell you something. After having done this now over 20 years, where I have meditated the word, prayed in tongues, you talk about revelation. Revelation will flow like water. If you'll give yourself over to praying in tongues and reading the Bible, the understanding will come. Why, Mark? Why will it happen? Because of this verse right here. Because he shall teach you all things, but it is not automatic. There has to be something that we do to initiate it, and what we do is pray in tongues and read the Bible. Don't think that you can just pray in tongues and not read the Bible. I liken it to, we know that the Word of God is like a seed. I liken the praying in tongues to fertilizing that seed. You can't have a crop if you just have a bunch of fertilizer with no seed. Has to be the combination of both of those. So don't think that you're just going to pray in tongues the rest of your life and not have the Word of God going inside of you consistently and end up having a harvest, because you won't. The seed has to be there. The Holy Ghost has to have something to work with. You can pray and meditate the Word and give him everything he needs to teach you, and you will have revelation like you've never imagined. But the Comforter, I'm reading verse 26 again, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Say all things. There's not anything that he's going to withhold from you. And look at the next part. Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, obviously, he's talking to people that have walked with him. We didn't walk with him. He's going to bring to our remembrance the Word of God. And you've had this happen to you. I'm sure you have. Where, there's maybe you've had a question about something, or maybe you've just, you've read the Bible, and maybe the next day or day after that, a verse just seems to float up inside of you, and maybe it's connected to a situation, and it's bringing illumination as far as the will of God is for that situation. That's possible. And that would be the equivalent of God speaking to you, because it's His Word, and it's the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead, bringing illumination to your spirit regarding that situation. That happens to me so many times. It's Him communicating with me. I'm not going to say that it's God said something. Yes, He did say it in His Word. And He is communicating it with me. He is revealing His mind to me by bringing that verse to my remembrance. But I think so often we give people the wrong impression when we say, well, God said this. It's almost like, there's a mark, this is God, okay? That's not how it comes across. In this particularly right here, when that verse is coming to my remembrance, it's God communicating with me. It's His Word bringing illumination, the Holy Ghost bringing illumination to His Word regarding a situation or whatever. It's His mind. And I should look at that at just exactly as if God was saying, Mark, this is my mind for this situation. Amen? Amen. All right. Am I saying that He's not going to speak to you? Of course not. And I'll show you a verse that says He will. But I want you, and I believe the Holy Ghost wants you, to look at all of the different ways that He communicates with us and not pigeonhole Him into a box in which it's only this way, because you'll find out when, as we look at these verses, there's a lot of ways He wants to communicate with us. Not just by hearing Him, but through a vision, through a dream. Right here with the verses coming to our attention, there's a number of different ways. So let's go on here. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In the times that we're living in, there's some people that are afraid of everything. God doesn't want you to be afraid. He sent His Holy Ghost, His Holy Spirit, to live inside of you, to baptize you with Himself, so that you wouldn't be afraid. Remember, you are His child. You have His Spirit inside of you. Again, the people in the Old Testament, they thought we were going to look like giants. I guarantee they did. And we, to the enemy, I'll tell you what, we do look like giants. He'll try to tell you otherwise. He'll try to convince you that you don't amount to a hill of beans. He's a liar. He's so afraid that you are going to find out who you are, what God has made you. He's so afraid of that, because He knows that if you find out, that He's in trouble. So He's going to spend every waking moment convincing you that you are nothing. You're less than nothing. Oh, forget that. Just put your nose in the Bible. Find out who you are. Confess these things, who you are, who God made you. You're His child. You're His son. You have His Spirit inside of you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. Oh, that's good stuff. All right, here's another verse in chapter 15, verse 26, where we see the word comforter one more time. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me. And that testify is also meaning to bear witness, and which is what, you know, is used in the next verse. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And so we see another aspect of the ministry of the Holy Ghost, bearing witness of Jesus. All right, now we're going to go into chapter 16. It seemed like chapters 14, 15, and 16, you see Jesus speaking the most about the Holy Ghost here. Looking at verse 7, nevertheless, now look at this verse. This verse right here, this is so good. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now let's stop there for just a little bit. Let's look at that. It's expedient. Jesus is looking at these disciples and he's telling them, it is profitable for you that I go away. Now, in the minds of those disciples, I cannot imagine them thinking that Jesus leaving them is ever going to be beneficial or profitable. I have to think that they, in hearing those words out of Jesus' mouth, they had to scratch their head. They had to think, how in the world is it ever going to be a benefit to us, Jesus? You're here right now. You're with us right now. We know, Jesus, who you are. It's not beneficial for you to leave. We want you to stay right here. No. It's beneficial. It's better for you. It's more profitable for you if I leave. Because if I leave, then the Holy Spirit is going to come. Hallelujah. I want you to see how important the ministry of the Holy Ghost is. That Jesus himself would say it's more profitable for you if I leave and he comes. Why is that? Because as long as Jesus stood on this earth, he could be right here with us. Sure, he could minister to us. We could love every minute of it. But it was only Jesus left that the new birth came into existence and we were born again and the Spirit of God wouldn't just be upon us the way the Old Testament saints had him. And even the disciples, they had him upon them. No, when we would be born again, the Spirit of God would take up residence on the inside of us. That's why it was expedient that Jesus leave. The new birth would come into existence and the Spirit of God would come to live inside of us. We could welcome him in and he would come and reside on the inside of us. When we appreciate what that truly means, I believe our life will be so much different. When we recognize what happened when the Spirit of the living God immersed us with himself. And I think, let me read the rest here in verse 16, but I think the way that we're going to really learn about this is to go to Acts 2. But let's finish up here in John 16. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now here's another ministry of the Holy Ghost. I hope you're keeping track of this. He's going to teach us, is what we saw in chapter 14. Here it says, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So let's dissect this verse very quickly. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, here's what he's going to do. Guide you into all truth. He's going to guide you. Now, guide. Guide isn't pushing. Guide isn't dictating to you. When there's a guiding, it's something that is where he is the one in front. This same word is used. You remember the verse, can the blind lead the blind? That's the same word, lead. So you have two people. Yeah, one's trying to lead a blind person. Well, how do you lead a blind person? You lead them. You're a little bit in front of them. You're kind of guiding them. This guidance of the Holy Ghost, it's that not dictatorial, not it isn't. I'm trying to find the right words to say here. It isn't where the Holy Ghost is telling you every place to put your foot. It's like the blind person trying to guide, or someone that can see guiding a blind person. They don't tell him, okay, put your foot there. All right, now put your other foot here. Okay, now put the other foot here. No, it's not like that. Now, there are times that the Holy Ghost can be very specific about a situation. But not all the time. There is a bearing witness that the Holy Ghost can guide you simply by the peace that's inside of you. So don't think that he is going to dictate to you every single place that you step your foot, because that is just simply not the case. And if you're thinking that way, you could very easily just be in a stagnant position waiting for something that's not going to happen. He wants you to be moving, and he guides you as you move. And yes, at times he'll be specific, but not all the time. All right, so there's the guiding part. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Okay, so now we have him speaking. So there's a speaking part of it, where the Holy Ghost will speak. Now, is he going to speak in like the voice that I'm speaking to you? See, I'm using vocal cords. Air is passing over vocal cords in this natural world. That's not how the Holy Ghost speaks to you. It is a spirit-to-spirit communion that takes place, where he will reveal the mind of the Lord to you, and it may just be in a picture form. So for me personally, and I'm not saying this is going to be the way it is with you, I'm just saying this is the way it is with me. A lot of times, he just simply shows me a quick little picture, and that picture says everything, and I know that he's communicating with me. How he does it with you, it could be something completely different. I actually, and this is my opinion, but I actually believe that the way he communicates with us is as different as an individual that we are. But that's my opinion. So you have here that he will speak to you And he will, and look at the last part, he will show you things to come. He'll show you things to come. Our Father doesn't want us being caught off guard, not knowing what's going to happen. He'll show you things. He'll reveal things to you. So those are a few of the ministries. That's part of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Those things right there we saw in John 14, 15, and 16. So now let's go to Acts chapter 2. And let's just look here for a few minutes at the point in time when the Holy Ghost was poured out into this world. Beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now, let me back up just for a second. We're going to see here in a few minutes from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, I wanted to just draw your attention to the words, they were all with one accord. Okay, just want to bring that to your attention. They were all with one accord in one place. All right. And just kind of file that in the back of your mind. We'll get back to it in a little bit. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, sat down upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So why were they there? Well, they were there for the feast. And so you had all the people coming from all the different parts of the land coming to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. So what a perfect time. See, there, and here's another thing. There's no coincidence with God. Absolutely no coincidence whatsoever. This was exactly when the Holy Ghost was supposed to be poured out. Feast of Pentecost had all the people together. They were all going to witness this outpouring and the effect that the Holy Ghost had on these people as they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in other tongues. And it says, now when this was noise abroad, verse 6, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt, and then the parts of Libya and Cyrene and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. See, this was a sign and a wonder. See, they weren't just speaking in other tongues, it wasn't an understandable language. See, that's where you have to make that differentiation. See, if I sit here and go, Koda basala rabando robosi, see, I'm speaking in tongues for personal edification. It's not a ministry gift where there's an interpretation or it's a sign and a wonder where maybe someone else would understand that in their known language. This is just for my personal edification. But the example that we see here in the book of Acts, we have the Holy Ghost that has come upon these people, has baptized them. They're speaking in tongues, other tongues, but there it is a sign and a wonder because these tongues are actually languages. The languages of the people that have come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. Isn't that amazing? So they're hearing in their own language these Galileans speaking the wonderful works of God. And they had to be just shocked to see this. So let's go on now. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men, they're full of new wine. These people, I mean, can you imagine how they must have looked? They're, here they are. Tongues are rolling out their mouth, but it's actually a language, an understandable language that these people can understand. Some of them can. And the presence of God must have been so strong on them that they look drunk. I mean, you've probably seen that before, someone that, the God's presence, I mean, it's so heavy on a person. They're just kind of staggering around, looking like they're drunk. Well, that's how these people look. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Okay, so he's making sure they understand. These aren't drunk people. It's only the third hour of the day. It's early. They're not drunk. But this is what it is. But this is that, verse 16, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So what is he saying there? He's saying the prophet Joel prophesied of this. He spoke of what you see right here happening before your eyes. The prophet Joel prophesied of this event, and you are watching the fulfillment of prophecy. So what did he prophesy? Verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. I know some people wonder, Mark, do you see visions or dream dreams? Are you young or are you old? Well, that's not really what that's saying. It's not talking about whether you're young or old, and at some age you'll stop seeing dreams and you'll start seeing visions or whatever. All they're saying here is, there are dreams that you'll have, or you might have visions. These are some of the ways that the Holy Ghost can communicate with you, through dreams, through visions. So now we have where he speaks to us, where he gives us dreams, where he gives us visions. We also have where he'll bring a verse to our remembrance. You know, there's a whole variety of ways that the Holy Ghost can get his mind over to us. And we don't want to put him in a box. We don't want to say, okay, Holy Ghost, you got to speak to me. I think that's funny that we're going to try to tell God how he's going to communicate with us. Who are we anyway? No. However he chooses to reveal his mind to us, we have to be open and receptive to receive it. It may just be that we follow the peace in our heart, that we get so acquainted with him that we know that his peace, and we follow his peace, and that his bearing witness. Let's look at that real quick. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit. Now this, in this verse, this is the, in this chapter, chapter 8 of Romans, verse 16, is the first verse that is speaking specifically about the Holy Ghost. The other verses up until this point, when it says Spirit, it's talking about your reborn human spirit. But verse 16 uses the word Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. Himself, it says itself, but I like to think of him as a person because he is. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, there's another way that he communicates, through the bearing witness. And we're not talking simply about him bearing witness of whether something is sin or not sin. You know, really, that right there is our new nature. Our new nature will direct you as far as what's sin and not sin. This bearing witness right here, this is the Holy Ghost, and he can bear witness to you about if you're going the right direction, if you're doing the right thing, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. He can bear witness. And how does he do that? It's a kind of a knowing on the inside of you. It goes beyond words. Now, why, Mark, would it do that? Very simple. There's a verse, and I can't pick it up right now, that talks about the fact that there's voices in the world. There are voices. Yes, he's going to speak to us, but don't get the idea that the devil's not going to try to speak to you as well. So, as an insurance policy, that we can depend on still knowing what the Lord wants us to do, he gave us something that went beyond words, so that we're not just having to depend solely on words being spoken to us, that we can have the confidence that he's guiding us, that he's leading us by bearing witness with us. Yes, that's the right way. There's a peace inside that goes beyond words. That's something that is, it's a spirit to spirit. The devil can't give you that. Now, he can try and talk to you and tell you stuff and get you all confused. But what we're talking about here is spirit to spirit. And that's a place that he can't go. So keep that in mind as you're trying to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. All right, now let's go back here. Let's go to the book of Joel. The book of Joel. It's only three chapters. I'll give you just a minute to find it. Comes right after Hosea. I want to read a few verses leading up to the verse that Peter identified back in Acts chapter 2. Let's begin in chapter 2 of Joel. Let's look at beginning of verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. My people, look at this, shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people, I mean, he's serious, he's saying it twice, shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days I will pour out my spirit. I mean, can you just imagine what these people thought? You see, these people, the only way they could see God's manifested presence was when he would reveal himself, like in Solomon's temple, for example. When this temple was built and they were dedicating that temple, it was the Feast of Tabernacles. And what happened? Well, let's go look there, because I want you to see this. This is good. And it's in 2 Chronicles. I know not probably one of those books you get to very often. 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. It's going to be in verse 14 is what we're going to look at. 2 Chronicles. I'll read the first verse here to begin with. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all the things that David, his father, had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. I'll read the next one. Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, into Jerusalem to bring up the ark. See, here's what they're bringing up the ark. They finished the Solomon's temple. Now they're bringing up the ark. The presence of God dwells in this ark. And so they're bringing up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. See, that's the Feast of Tabernacles. All right. Let's go down to verse 13. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers. Now, remember what I said from Acts chapter 2, verse 1? What did it say? They were all in one accord. Well, look at this. You'll find this interesting. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. How about that? Isn't that interesting? To make one sound to be heard in praise and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord. So the priest, look at this, they could not stand. They could not stand. They probably looked like they might have been drunk. They couldn't even stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. That's what happened in the book of Acts. But see, it wasn't a natural building that was being filled. In the book of Acts, God's presence filled this tabernacle. You are the tabernacle of God. His presence isn't on the outside now. It went on the inside. This is what the prophet Joel could see, that the presence of God, that all those hundreds of years they saw manifested on the outside, and where the cloud was so thick that the priests couldn't even minister, they would fall down to the ground. And Joel saw that the presence of God, that mighty presence, was going to be on the inside of us. No wonder he thought, these people are going to be giants. The presence of God that would manifest on the outside, that we can't even minister. The priest couldn't even minister because of the glory. That glory is going to go on the inside of these people. Who could stand in front of them? Nobody. If we just believe that we are the people that we are. How about that? Glory to God. Let me give you one last little thing that ties this together. And it's going to be in John chapter 7. John 7. This is This is Jesus speaking in John 7. And I want you to notice when this is taking place in John 7. After these things, verse 1, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he could not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles. Well, it was the same feast that was being celebrated back in Chronicles when Solomon's temple was being dedicated. This is the same feast. And don't think that it is a coincidence. I get excited about this. There is no coincidence with God. And look at what Jesus is saying here in verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." He's talking about the Holy Ghost. So you see in Chronicles, you see the dedication of the temple was taking place, and the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7. You see the Feast of Tabernacles, and what does Jesus talk about? He talks about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. See, in that feast, there was the great day of the feast would have been the eighth day, final day. What happened on the eighth day? The eighth day was the day that the young babies were circumcised. That eighth day is symbolic of the new birth. It's talking about when you're born again, then you'll receive this outpouring of the Spirit. You see, there wasn't supposed to be a separation between the being saved and being filled with the Holy Ghost. It should all take place. You should be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and it shouldn't be something that's separated. And that's what Joel saw. That's what Jesus was speaking about. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. And that's the ministry of the Holy Ghost inside of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hope you're blessed by that. Blessed me tonight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We are truly giants. We are unstoppable. Hallelujah. The enemy cannot stop us. I thank you, Father, that we are discovering more and more who we have become as children of God. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. I hope that you enjoyed that message. For more information about our ministry, you can write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170. Or you can contact us via the internet.